Friday the 26th of June, Dalad Tammuz, Rabbi Yossi Cohen, Machlokas and Lashon Hara.
This week's Parsha, which is the unfortunate source of Machlokas in the Torah. Previous Parshas have dealt with Lashon Hara, the story of Miriam, the story of the Meraglim. We're now in Chodesh Tammuz, which basically unfortunately ushers in the Yemei HaChorban. So I wanted to speak a bit about these terrible averas from a slightly different angle, perhaps, to try and work on these things. I'm not here to chasron say musa to anyone, but to try and work on these things that we can rectify the very cause of the Chorban itself. As the Chofetz Chaim says in many places, that it's unthinkable that the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt if we don't rectify the very reason why it was destroyed in the first place. Especially in days like this, where Klal Yisrael needs a Shmira for all different reasons, Ein lecha Shmira gadol mizeh. The Rekeach, one of the very early Rishonim who lived over 850 years ago, he is meramez at the beginning of Eicha. He says, the first pasuk in Eicha is, Eicha yoshva vodod ha'ir rabosi om hoysa ka'almona. Says the Rekeach, if you take the first letters of those words, Eicha, Yoshva, Vodod, Ha'ir, Rabosi, Om, Hoysa, it spells out Eva, Ra. Eva, Ra. Eva means hatred, as the Torah uses that word. And Ra, as an evil hatred, Sinas Chinam. If you want to know why Yerushalayim, why Klal Yisrael became Ka'almona, the reason is Eva, Ra. Eicha Yoshva Vodod Ha'ir Rabosi Om Hoysa, and then Ka'almona. Eva Ra. The Sinas Chinam, the Machloikas, Lashon Hara, all these things are intertwined, and this week's Parsha is again part of the springboard of this topic. Yerushalmi brings down at the end of Masechet Brachos that Rachmon Litzlan earthquakes happen in the world due to Machlokas. And again, one can clearly see the Midah Keneged Midah there, the plates of the earth separate, which is basically similar to what happens when there's a Machlokas. So how do we avoid Machlokas? The Shlach HaKodesh writes that the word Machlokas itself, when you analyze the word, you see the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh. I want to speak about a number of things today about the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh, how we see in certain words, certain messages that say it all. The word machloikas, says the Shlach HaKodesh, teaches us exactly how it works and advises us how to prevent it. Machloikas, he says, is like fire. As we know, machloikas is like fire. When a fire first starts spreading, it just spreads a little bit. At that point, if you want to try and extinguish the fire, it's not very hard. You take a cup of water, you pour it on the fire, and it's extinguished. If, however, you leave the fire to spread, then the fire spreads even wider. It spreads even more. At that point, to extinguish the fire, a cup of water won't do it. You need a fire extinguisher, you need a bucket. But it's still, you can still save the building. If, Rahman and Son, you still leave the fire to spread, then eventually it leaps upwards, flares out of control, and engulfs the upper floors of the building. Once it's gone up out of control, then the upper floors of the building are engulfed with fire, and there's no way to save the situation. The damage is going to be caused. Continues the Shlach HaKodesh, once it's flared upwards, then you're going to have the elements that are going to stoke the fire. The wind can cause the fire to spread even more. Certain things can cause the fire, stabilize the fire, continue it, and make it cause more damage. There'll be certain things that will support the fire. Then says the Shlach HaKodesh, once that's happened, the fire has spread and it's engulfed the upper floors, etc. It's flared out of control. The next stage is that everything and everyone is going to come crashing down in that fire. The building eventually will come crashing down. And finally says the Shlach HaKodesh, if you think the fire is going to be extinguished so fast, it might extinguish on the outside, but deep inside, even though the fire's out, if you put your hand in, you'll still burn yourself from the glowing coals beneath the surface. it doesn't extinguish so fast once Rachmanus starts flared out of control like that. So the Shulchan Kodesh, that's exactly the same with Machlokas. It starts a little bit, then it spreads more, then it flares up out of control. There are those that will stoke it and get involved in it, and once that happens, everyone involved comes crashing down, and it lasts until the end. Says the Shulchan Kodesh, look at the word Machlokas. In the word Machlokas, you see the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh. Every letter symbolizes a stage of what we just discussed. The Mem, says the Shulchan Kodesh, the first letter, is a letter which has a little gap at the bottom. If you picture a Mem in your mind, there's a little gap at the bottom. That symbolizes the fire has just spread a little bit. At that point, when there's a piru, the Machlokas, it could be between two people, it could be Chalila between, whatever it is, at that point you can still save the situation. One apologizes to the other, you can pour a cup of water and extinguish the fire. But if you leave it, and you don't, this is where the main efforts have to be put in any local, whatever the case is, if one doesn't extinguish it at that stage, the next stage is the Ches. The Ches, if you look beneath the Ches, is even wider than the gap under the Mem. It spreads even more. Still not impossible to save, but it's getting harder. It's spread even more. So the Shlach HaKodesh, the next stage, if it's not extinguished then, by the Ches stage, then you have the Lamed. The Lamed is the tallest letter of the Aleph Beis. It stands head and shoulders above the rest. It flares up out of control. At that point, there's no return, basically. The damage is going to be done. The Lamed symbolizes the fact that it's flared up out of control, and there's going to be casualties. So the Shulchan Kodesh says this. It's unbelievable he says this. He says, the Vav is the next letter. The Vav is the shape of a walking stick. A walking stick supports a person. So the Shulchan Kodesh, there'll be plenty of people around to support the Machlokas. There'll be plenty of people to, so to speak, keep it up. And heaven forbid, and heaven save us, if they're doing it for the sake of heaven. Hashem Shemayim. And when that happens, and you've got those that are getting involved to hold on to the stick, to support the situation, to keep it going, the Vav HaChibur, to connect it to the next stage, then you're really in trouble. And the following stage will be the Kuf. So the Shulchan Kodesh, the Kuf, is one of the lowest letters that goes all the way down, because everyone will come crashing down. And says the Shulchan Kodesh, the Tof at the end symbolizes, the Tof is the last letter of the Aleph Beis. It doesn't go away so quickly. The Machlokas lasts until the end. It's solid, it's got 2 feet like the Tof, and that's the tragic situation of Machlokas. Obviously we're not talking about a Machlokas which is the Shem Shemayim. I mean really the Shem Shemayim. The Klei Ochr writes in Sefer Bereishis that why is it called a Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim? We're told in the Torah that Shemayim, originally when Hashem created the world, Shemayim was made of a combination of Eish and Mayim, two opposites. But they came together to make Shalom. If the Tachlis of the Machlokas is for Shalom, ultimately, then that's the Shem Shemayim. Machlokas, the Shem Shemayim, is good. But other than that, these are the dangers, the fires of Machlokas. So any person who's a Chacham will be Royas and Noilod, and all efforts, obviously we try to make efforts not to get to the Mem stage in the first place, but if we are, which often does happen in everyone's life at points of a person's life, you get into a Mem situation of tension, whatever the case may be, that's where the main efforts have to be made. To extinguish the fire before it gets to Ches, and definitely before it gets to Lamed. So, the Averim Lashon Hara and Machlokas, if there is any stoking of the fire that continues the Machlokas, it's the Averim Lashon Hara which so often goes hand in hand with the sin of Machlokas. So again, with your permission, I would just like to say some certain ideas. Again, I'm not here to give Musa, I'm just discussing this issue. Something which is the cause of our still being in Golas Ad Yom HaZeh. Machlokas and Lashon Hara go hand in hand. And as a closing, the Rebbe once pointed out that the first Golas that we went into by Churban Bayis Rishon was due to, as the Gemara says, the Gimel Averis Chamuris, the three cardinal sins. And we went into Golas for 70 years. The second Golas we went into, Churban Bayis Sheni, we've been in Golas more than 25 times that figure. So, showing the severity of the sins of the Eivah Ra that we discussed, the sin of Chinam on the Lashon Hara. So again, just a few reminders which perhaps are not so commonly known regarding this Aveira that can perhaps serve as tools to be able to help us in this tremendous challenge of life. The Pasuk says, Hachayim v'hamoves v'yad haloshen. Life and death, as the Pasuk in Mishlei, are in the hands of the tongue. Literally, that's what it means. As the Medrash tells us, using the tongue correctly, Hachayim, it can literally bring life to the world. Moshe interceded on our behalf, and Davin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Klal Yisrael were not killed. Esther, for example, interceded using her mouth and saved Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, we have examples in history, starting from the Nochach Shesperb Lashon Hara, as Chazal tell us, he brought death to the world. Doeg HaDoimi, also speaking Lashon Hara about Noivir HaKoyanim and Sefer Shmuel, also brought death to the world. Hachaim v'hamoves b'yad haloshen. So the Maral, the word for tongue in Hebrew is Loshen. The Maral writes this in the Sif HaLoshen. The word for tongue in Hebrew is Loshen. Lamed, Sheen, and Nun. Says the Maral, it doesn't necessarily have to be spelled with a Vav. It can be spelled Lamed, Sheen, Nun, not necessarily with a Vav. Says the Maral, the word Loshen tells us the power of the tongue. It begins with a Lamed and ends with a final Nun and has a Sheen in the middle. Again, similar to what we discussed on the Shloah Kodesh, says the Maral, the Lamed is the tallest letter of the alphabet. It stands head and shoulders above all the rest of the letters, symbolizing that if you use your tongue correctly, you can raise yourself to the highest imaginable madrigas. Like the Lamed, Meshich Moy V'Malo, Mikola Oisius, a person can raise themselves to the highest madrigas by using the tongue correctly. Or Chalila, Maves B'Yad HaLoshon, the final Nun, is also one of the lowest letters of the alphabet. It can make a person descend to the lowest possible madrigas. The letter in the middle is the sheen. A sheen is a letter which has three lines. One in the middle, one bearing to the right, and one bearing to the left. Says the Maral, we are that center middle line. And now we have a bechira. Do we tend to bear towards the lamed and raise ourselves like the lamed, using our tongues correctly to bring chayim to the world, using our tongues correctly to build people, to say the right things, etc.? Or chalila, do we use our bechira to bear towards the left, where the final nun symbolizes you can descend and plummet to the lowest levels imaginable? Hachayim v'hamoves, the yad haloshen is actually hinted to in the word loshen. The Maral also adds that v'besori echazar lekai, says Eo, if a person can learn, besides the incredible creation of the human body, all the phenomenal biology of it, but the positioning of the limbs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us teach us very important lessons on how to live our lives. Says the Maral, every human being is created with three pairs on their face. A person has a pair of ears which are far away from each other, a person has a pair of eyes which are closer than the ears, and a person's nose is also made up of a pair. The tongue, says the Maral, was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly in between those three pairs. If a person studies himself, they'll learn that the tongue is directly in between those three pairs. What does that come to teach us? Says the Maral, Lelamdeinu, the tongue which was created directly in between those three pairs is coming to teach us. If you use your tongue correctly, you can take two people that are distant, like the two ears, far away from each other. They don't know each other, or they've had a machloikas with one another, or they're arguing, or they're brokers, whatever the case may be. And if you use your tongue for chayim cleverly, you can bring those two people that are distant, and bring them even closer like the eyes, and if you're really good at it, even closer like a person's nose. But chalila, on the other hand, if a person uses their tongue wrongly, they can bring two people that are close, extremely close, similar to the pair on a person's nose. Friends, chalila, husband and wives, partners, whatever the case may be, people that are close. And chalila, by using one's tongue wrongly, they can bring pirud, separation, even more so like the eyes, and chalila even more so like the ears. It's all in the hands of the tongue, which lies perfectly between those three pairs, says the Maral, to teach us this lesson. Hachayim v'hamoves b'yad haloshen. Chavetz Chaim says we learn this from the Metzorah. The lesson of Hachayim v'amoves b'yad haloshen, says the Chavetz Chaim, very beautifully, is learned from the Metzorah. Chazal tell us the Metzora is called a Metzora. We know he gets Metzoras because of Lashon Hara. Metzora stands for Maitzira. He was Maitzira from his mouth, and that's what calls the Nega HaTzoras. So the Metzora, as we know, goes out from Shalosh Machanos. He goes out of three Machanos, and he's one of the four people Chazal compared to a dead person. Oni, a Metzora, Mishein Lebonim, and a Suma, a blind person. So a person who is now out of the Gimel Machanos is compared to a dead person. Mavis. What causes the Metzora now to once again be Tohar, so to speak, have Tchias HaMesim, to be alive once again? The Kohen comes, he checks the Nega, and with his mouth he says the word Tohar. Sifsei Kohen Yishmur Das, the Kohen with his mouth paskens, it is Tohar. When the Kohen says the word Tohar with his holy mouth, he now, so to speak, brings the Metzora back to life. And the lesson that is being taught to the Metzora is, Hachayim V'Hamoves B'Yad HaLosh. Whilst you were there in exclusion out of three Machanos, you were in a state of Moves. You were away, alone, in a situation which Chazal compared to Moves. Now the Kohen is teaching you by coming with his holy mouth to Paskim. You are Tohar. He's coming to, so to speak, bring you back to life, to make you realize that your sin came about because of this. Your sin came about because of using your tongue for Moves, rather than learning from the Kohen, who uses his tongue to bring Chaim. Hachaim v'hamoves b'yad halosh. That's the Oynish. The Oynish is always, I heard this idea actually from Rabbi Rieti from America. I don't know where he got this from, perhaps it's his own, but I heard this from him, that the word for punishment in Hebrew is an Oynish. And again, Lashon HaKodesh, every word of Lashon HaKodesh teaches us the essence and the meaning, the deeper meaning of the idea being taught. A punishment is called an Oynish. Ayin, Nun, and Shin. Nun and Shin, Nash, is the root to words that mean to fall. Nash. I'm talking about Bisli and Bamba. I'm talking about Nash as in certain words that hint to falling. For example, Yaakov Avinu was struck by the Malach in the Gid HaNoshe. Right? It was that part of the foot, the Gid that Noshe, it slipped down. In Masechus Beitz, for example, the Gemara talks about the Issa of Peris HaNoshim on Shabbos. Peris HaNoshim, which means fruits that were on the tree and they fall off. The din is you're allowed to pick them up on Shabbos because you might come to pluck another one. But the term used is Peris HaNoshim. It means to fall away. Fruit that have fallen down. Nash is the root to words that mean to fall. The word Oynish is Ayin Nash. Ayin means an eye, with which you see, and then nash. The purpose of an oynish is that you should see where you fell. That's the purpose of an oynish. That's how Kodesh Baruch gives onshin. A parent should also try and strive to do that, easier said than done. But the way the Ribbono Shel Olam gives an oynish is, ayin nash. He makes us hopefully see nash where we have fallen. So this is the Hachaim V'Amoves B'Yad HaLoshin. I heard from Moshe Shapiro once brought this in the name of the Ramami Pano. It's also, the idea is also mentioned in one of the Gedolei HaChassidus from Naftali Ropshitz also brings this idea as well. The word teva in Hebrew, a teva, means two things. In Lashon HaKodesh there's a klal, whenever you have a word that has two meanings, it might not at first glance have any connection, but it always does. The word teva in Hebrew means, as we know, the first time it comes about is by Noach, a teva. And the second time you come into contact with a teva is a word, Rosh Tevas. A teva means a word, and a teva means an ark, Tevas Noach. What has an ark got to do with a word? Besides the fact they both mean teva in Hebrew. What does one have to do with the other? The answer is, there was a marvel out there. And what saved Noach from the marble was the teva. Similarly, there is a marble out there till this day, a marble of words. A marble of words. There's no other word for it. A marble of words. Anyone's ever seen a newspaper, regardless which one, a marble of words. Just words and words and words and words. We live in a world where the words that people say and people write and whatever it may be, threaten literally to drown us. It's a marble. It's a threatening marble. The amount of nonsense and besides Valga and Bittl, a tremendous amount of words that literally threaten to flood and drown the world. What is going to be our teva that protects us from the mubble of the world? The answer is the Loshen. The only thing that can save us against the mubble of the world that threatens to drown us is the other meaning of the word teva. The teva which saved Noach in his mubble. The teva, in other words, the words that we use, the Divrei Torah, the Tefillah, those are going to be the only survival techniques that will save us from the mubble of this world. The teva and the teva. Tevas Noach saved him from that mubble. The teva, the words that we pronounce, save us from the mubble of this world. And how fascinating it is, he points out, the Ramami Pano, one of the great Italian Kabbalists, how fascinating it is to note that if you look at the measurements of Tevas Noach, the measurements of Tevas Noach are 30 by 300 by 50, which in Gematria is Lamed, Shin, and Nun, which once again is Loshen. The measurements of Tevas Noach are exactly Loshen. In other words, the Beis HaMedrash to learn how to survive is Tevas Noach. In other words, Loshen, the words that a person pronounces. I think it's appropriate to add that it's very meduic. The Gemara in the beginning of Sochem says, from where do we learn that La'olam Yidaber Odom B'Loshen Nekiya? From where do we learn that a person should always speak B'Loshen Nekiya? Again, the source of that is Tevas Noach. The Gemara says that Esabehema Tohira, Esabehema Asheinena Tohira, and the Gemara there says that the Torah added many extra letters to avoid using what in that particular place is considered the Loshen Einem Nekiya, to use the word Tommy. So the Torah says Asheinena Tohira, it adds letters, which it very rarely, it never does for no good reason. Again, it's no coincidence that the Beis HaMedrash for learning how to speak Dibur Noki, Loshen Nekiya, is Tevas Noach. Lev Yitzchak of Adichik says that, we know from Perek HaBoin in Shabbos, that every letter of the Aleph Beis and the sequence of the letters all teach us different limudim, different lessons. So Lev Yitzchak writes in his Sefer that Mem Ayin Pei Tzadik, Samach Ayin Pei Tzadik, the sequence is, in the Aleph Beis, Samach is followed by Ayin, followed by Pei, followed by Tzadik. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Baditshev, Samach is a letter which is completely closed on all sides. If we'll learn from the Samach, Ayin, next letter, to learn from the Samach, Ayin, that our eyes should be closed when inappropriate things are around, we'll learn from the Ayin to close our eyes, we'll learn from the Samach to close our eyes, our Ayin, when it's correct to do so, and Pei, we'll learn to close our mouth, we'll learn from the Samach to close our mouth when it's appropriate to do so, then Tzadik, then will be tzaddikim. So Levi Yitzchak brings down. So these ideas can perhaps serve as a reminder to us in some way or another to work on this particular Indian. Dov Namelech writes in Perek Kuf Chof of Tehillim. Again, it's probably also no coincidence. Perek Kuf Chav is 120. If you want to be Ma'arich Yomim, the theme of that Perek is Lashon Hara. He says in that Perek, amongst many other things, Mayitin Loch u'mayosif Loch Lashon Remia. What more can I give you, what more can I add to you, O you deceitful tongue? Mayitin Loch u'mayosif Loch Lashon Remia. What more can I give you, says Hashem, than I have given you already, O you deceitful tongue? So the Gemara in Erechin says, what is David HaMelech referring to here, in the name of Hashem? What more can I give you, what more can I add than I have already? It seems that Hashem has given us something that can prevent us from speaking Lashon Hara. Says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave every single person two barriers that prevent us from speaking Lashon Hara, apparently. One of them is a hard barrier, the teeth, and after that, one has a soft barrier, the lips. What more can I give you than I've given you already to prevent from speaking Lashon Hara? I gave you a hard barrier of the teeth and a soft barrier of the lips. And the obvious question here is, the Maral discusses, the Ben Ish Chai, all asks this obvious question. We all know very well that neither of those two barriers in any way physically prevent from speaking Lashon Hara. If I decide to open my mouth and speak, there's no secret code I have to plug in to get my teeth or my lips for that matter to open up. It's an automatic process, and there's no, it doesn't seem to serve in any way at all as a physical prevention. So what do Chazal mean when they say, what more can I give you? Hashem says, what more can I give you to prevent you from speaking Lashon Hara than I have given you already? A hard barrier and a soft barrier. So the Ben Ish Chai, a very fascinating thing. There's a very, there's no other word for it, there's a very shocking Chovas Halvavos in Shah HaKniyah. The Chovas Halvavos writes there a shocking thing, that there is a concept that a person after 120 can come to Shemayim and all of a sudden find out that they're going to be punished for sins they never did, and the person who was spoken Lashon Hara about is going to be rewarded for mitzvahs that you did do. You've got Reuven and Shimon. Reuven spoke a lot of Lashon Hara about Shimon. They eventually die. All of a sudden, Reuven's mitzvahs, which he did in his life, are going to be given to Shimon as a reward. And Shimon's averus, which he did in his life, are going to land up in Reuven's cheshbon up there in Shemayim. Exactly how it works, we don't know exactly, but there is such a concept, the Chovas Halvavos brings it down in Shah HaKniyah, that a person can actually earn somebody else's averus in Kabbalah Islam and lose the mitzvahs they did, which go over to somebody else. Which is a frightening thing. It's so frightening that in one place the Beis Yosef, who had his maggid, who came to speak to him, the maggid says to the Beis Yosef, if you know someone speaking Lashon Hara about you, don't be too upset about it, because you just gained a lot of mitzvahs you never did. And you've lost averus that you did too. It's a shocking thing. And the question here is, what is the justification for such a terrible punishment? It's a shocking thing. Such a terrible punishment. What's the justice? What's the tzedek for such a shocking punishment? Because this guy spent so much effort to do an avera, I should get punished for his avera. I put so much effort into doing a mitzvah, he should get rewarded for my mitzvahs. So the answer is, Rabbi Dessler writes in one place, it's quoted in the name of Rabbi Dessler, that he writes as follows. He says, is there a taiva for Lashon Hara or not? Well, we all know that there is. The problem is, Chazal say that there isn't. Chazal say the Nachash was punished with eating offer all his life, because the Nachash took part in a sin that has no pleasure whatsoever. You took part in Lashon Hara, which is a sin without any pleasure. You will now eat earth, eat dust, which has no hanor, has no pleasure at all. So the question obviously here is, what's going on? Is there or is there not a pleasure in speaking Lashon Hara? We all know from the world arena that there is, but Chazal testify that there isn't. How do we put these two things together? The Nachash was punished with food that has no hanor because he did an aver that has no hanor. We all know there is a pull. How does a metzias fit in with what Chazal say? The answer is, as a medesin, it's a tifu nekudah, but when you analyze it, it's very evident, obviously. He says as follows. He says that the truth is, there is no hanor in speaking Lashon Hara. There is hanor in grinding your teeth into a non-kosher chocolate bar. So they tell me. Right, there is a hanor in grinding one's teeth in a non-kosher chocolate bar. The actual pu'ula achila is pleasurable. However, the dibur that a person says, Lashon Hara, is not something you actually enjoy as you pronounce it. So what is the pull that we have? Says Rabbi Dessler, the imaginary pull, again, he stresses it's an imaginary pull, that a person has to speak Lashon Hara is. And you, when you think about it, 99.9% of Lashon Hara all come under this category. The pleasure that we feel that we want to speak Lashon Hara is that I imagine if I say this comment about this person, I will feel better. I'll raise myself. Or you might think I'm a witty person if I make that good joke about Yena and bring him down, you'll raise me and make me feel good. I'll be looked as a witty guy, a smart guy on the ball, whatever the case may be. Or I've got a certain grudge against that person. If I just let out my Lashon Hara, I'll feel better. It will raise me. If I push him down, it will make me feel better. So Rabbi Dessler, if you think about it, nearly every single Lashon Hara comes under that category. Again, the hanor is not in the dibur itself. The pu'ula hadibur is not pleasurable. The pleasure is that if I say what I'm saying about Yena, that unloading of my words by pushing him down is going to pick me up and make me feel better. Therefore, says Rabbi Dessler, this is the onish, again, ayin nun shi. This is the tzedek in the punishment. The shayrish of Lashon Hara is that you're building yourself at the expense of someone else. And therefore, midah keneged midah, in olam haba, they're going to build themselves at your expense. Again, I hope and pray that it's not, chalila, something that literally all one's averas and all one's mitzvahs disappear for every single time, others will be in real trouble here, right? And I hope you can do tshuva and accounts go backwards and forwards. We'll leave that to the Academy of High to work out the cheshbonus. But that's the sheirish of the chet. The hanah is, again, it's not in the dibur itself. It's in the imaginary pleasure that I have, that I will raise myself up if I push you down. The sheirish of lashon hara is building yourself up, picking yourself up on the expense of someone else. Midah k'neged midah, they'll pick themselves up at your expense. Says the Ben Ish Chai, that is the hinted to by the two barriers, the hard and the soft barrier. Again, it's not a physical prevention. When I speak lashon hara, I don't need to ask permission from either my teeth or my lips. However, says the Ben Ish Chai, the hard cutting teeth and the soft tender lips are maramas to me. That before you open your mouth, think a moment. Something very hard and something very soft might happen to you if you say the wrong thing. The very hard thing is, if you say lashon hara about someone, so-and-so's averas will come, so to speak, cutting into you. And the tender lips symbolize, I mean, it's psukim to prove all this, the tender lips symbolize the mitzvahs of a person. That if you say lashon hara about someone else, then your mitzvahs will chalila go over to that person. So he writes in the mitzvah, again, I'm not here to give, I'm not giving anyone musa chalila, I'm just saying that this is the topic of all the parashas we've been discussing. It's the topic of the time period we're in now in Chodesh Tammuz, followed by Chodesh Av. And he writes in the Mitzvah Shem that discuss this in the Mitzvah Shem, the Shmira should be a Shmira from all sorts of, if we'll be shame ourselves from keeping ourselves within sight, making sure that we have no Eva Ra within us and keeping our mouths where they're supposed to be, that in the Mitzvah Shem no illnesses, Chalila, no external dangers, Chalila, should harm Klal Yisrael in any way whatsoever. And the Mitzvah Shem, the Gula Shleim, should come here. Amen. 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 Amen.